There are seven kings. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 399. It is February 17, 2016. Well, today we're looking for presidential candidates. God's presidential candidates. I've just finished a book called There Are Seven Kings, taken right out of the book of Revelation. We're going to try to find out who is going to rule this world one day. You say, that's not all that important. I want to know about life right now. Well, there's other people teaching those things. And you say, this isn't that important. We should be studying. The thing is, everything in God's Word is important. I didn't say this is the most important, but I want to teach those things that need to be taught that are from the Word. Anything that the Word brings up is fair game for the teacher to teach. So this particular subject has intrigued me for many years, and I trust it will intrigue you. I trust it will intrigue you more than sports and the other idols that Americans go after. I understand that some of the things that Christians teach about are not number one on God's list, but they surely are ahead of the things that Christians deal with in the West, with all of their stuff that they do that has nothing to do with the Word of God. So surely this is more important than some of those things, don't you think? Well, I do. Since it's my podcast, I'm just going to teach this. All right, here we go. I want to remind you we're on video from this point on. You can join us at YouTube. And in fact, here's the information about that, whatever side you happen to be on. If you're on the video side, I encourage you to go to that top thing there, sermonaudio.com, aservant70, and click on store to view my books, or if you want just the MP3 audios and blogs, there's a whole bunch of them. And the video people, or for the audio people, you can come to youtube.com/TheProfessorEnglish. If you want to go to Twitter, both of you, @Dulas76, or email me there at that bottom thing there, bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. You would be amazed at how it brightens my day. Now, I don't want you making up stuff, but when somebody writes me a note and says, wow, been with you a long time, or we love what you're saying, or even if you don't love what I'm saying, if you can say it lovingly that you don't and tell me why and give me scriptures and so on, we can talk about that too. But I love hearing from people to know that you're out there and encourage or to build or to do whatever you need to do that the Lord is telling you to do. Be sure it's the Lord. Well, we're ready. I'm ready to begin this book. Who's going to rule the world one day? What do you think? Well, Jesus, for one, I know that you are going to say, Jesus, and Jesus is already ruling the world. That's end of discussion. I know. But the Word gives us a little more about somebody that's coming before Jesus comes. Jesus will have the final say. He will rule forever. I know that. But before him comes the anti-Jesus. And he'll be inhabited in his body, this Antichrist, by the one who's been looking for thousands of years for the right man in which to dwell. This man must be in perfect agreement with Satan's agenda. And that agenda includes total opposition to the desires of God toward Israel, for example, toward his son, toward the disciples of Jesus. It includes world domination, so that the God of heaven will have no chance to find a dwelling place here. Most importantly, it includes worship. All earthlings, including the God-man himself, Jesus, in Satan's view, must bow at the feet of Satan, whom we generically call the Antichrist. His name, while he is here, is going to be much more appealing than that. He won't just go around saying he's the Antichrist. He'll be telling you he's the Christ. The prophecy that's in Revelation 17, I think, leads us to seven candidates for that presidential office. The moment I say candidate, you're thinking about Trump and company here in America. Oh my, what an image we are, Asher, putting across the nation and across the world as our presidential campaign heats up again. We've seen this before. It's getting awful ugly out there. There is dishonesty going on. That's how people are. That's how politicians are. And everyone that's running is a politician, whether they claim that they're anti-establishment or not. They've just become politicians when they start running for office. They know it's the only thing to do. I would guess maybe one exception might be Mr. Carson, whom we love, but he's going to be corrupted the more powerful he gets. And we can hope for his sake that he doesn't proceed any farther in this. It's power corrupts, as they say, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. No, I don't believe it's possible, as far as America has sunk morally, I don't believe it's possible for a truly godly man to be elected. And the ones who start out with a godly message start doing ungodly things, and so don't deserve our support in that sense. Who do you support? You better pray about that. I have a theory about it. You want to hear it? Well, you're going to hear it anyway. I believe that God judges a nation with bad leaders when that nation has gone to evil. I think you see what's happened over the last years. That's because our nation was evil. Democracy is great until rule of the majority becomes majority of evil. Americans by the majority are now evil people, I believe. I believe we have just adopted too many. It's in the church. It's in conservative churches. It's in what we would even call good churches. You see evil there. You see men who have corrupted themselves. It's not the same as when we were growing up, old folks. It's not the same. And even as our elders were telling us in our young days, it's not the same as when I was growing up. Well, it's true. It just keeps getting worse. That's why I'm not sure we can expect God to be giving us this wonderful leader if we're not a wonderful people to be led. So he judges us with evil men, and in this case, perhaps an evil woman who would be the leader of the free world. It's incomprehensible. We who are elderly perhaps are a little bit happy that our time here is finished and we get to go on to be where government is good and godly. And we thank God that he's coming one day with a pure and good government. I'm for kings. I'm not for democracy, ultimately. The rule of the people. The people are bad. Bad folks. But Jesus is good. And he will rule. And he is the king. That's why I'm for monarchy, if the monarch happens to be Jesus. Yeah. Which leads us back to the fact that he's not coming before another one comes. I know you don't like to hear that in these days of the pre-tribulation rapture, which is a new thing in the church. Did you know that? It's a new thing. Pre-trib is new. Growing up, nobody had ever heard of that. Jesus was coming. That's all we knew. Where did they discover all this? And why? Is it just their ambition to stay away from trouble? Tribulation that's coming to the church? No, I have a lot of other studies on that. And I'll refer you to those. They're on the website. They're on YouTube even there. I've talked about this many times. I'm going to get back to where we started here today before I go off too far. You know how grandpa's can be. The prophecy of Revelation 17 leads us, I believe, to seven candidates for the presidential office of the world, president of the world, not of America. In Revelation, there's an angel trying to describe to John, not trying, he actually does describe to John, the apostle, the nature of the beast that has appeared before him. The beast, it's an animal. We use the word beast today. But it was just this huge animal that looked very weird. Seven heads, 10 horns. And he didn't get it. And so the angel's trying to describe to him the nature of this animal. And this animal is carrying a woman. We could talk about that a while, but we won't. The woman that rides the animal. We've identified that as something else. But the animal himself, what is it? He says that the seven heads on the animal have a dual interpretation. Verse 7. The angel said to me, "Why did you marvel?" I have a Bible, by the way. If you don't have a Bible, I could say anything to you and you'll believe it. Get your Bible out. When I say Bible, get a Bible. Revelation chapter 17, verse 7. "Why did you marvel? I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and of the animal that's carrying her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The animal that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who live on the earth will marvel," and so on. Here is the mind, verse 9, "which has wisdom." Here is the mind. Do you have wisdom? It says we have the mind of Christ. I don't know that that means every individual has the whole mind of Christ. I think the church has the mind of Christ. Paul said we have the mind. Collectively, put it together. I've never been in a church where I agreed with everything. Nor has any church ever agreed with me totally. That's not unusual. That's how it should be. Because in all, you put the church together and you will have the mind of Christ. You need to get out there and find out what God is saying in the church. Not just in your little group, but in the church. Find out what God is saying. Be careful, though. There's a lot of junk out there. I didn't mean to send you on a wild goose chase. He says, here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. That's one interpretation. But there's another interpretation to it. Because, and at the same time, we're not saying, gee, I wonder which one. No, it's both. It's both. Also, he says, verse 10, there are seven kings. The seven heads mean seven kings or seven hills. Seven kings, five have fallen. One is. And one is yet to come. He says that there are seven kings, and I think that quite possibly each one of these kings is sitting on one of these mountains. Now, Rome has always been singled out here because it's a city on seven hills. And the word translated mountain so often in these Bible translations can also be hill. So it can be seven hills for sure. The end of the chapter suffices to identify Rome. It says at the end of this chapter, the woman that you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The woman is the great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. So we know that Rome is in there for sure. Not trying to do away with the Rome thing. The statement there is clear. The woman is the city, period. Exclamation mark, in my opinion. But if the woman is the city, how can the seven hills also be the city that she sits on? The woman sitting on a... You see what I'm saying? It's a gymnastic impossibility, I believe, though I am one who has always favored the seven hills is Rome thing, and I still do. But a closer look may cause us to see that these seven hills are nothing more than seven kingdoms upon which seven specific kings have sat in the past and present for John and future for us. Are you still there? The flow of the explanation given by John seems to me to fit that interpretation quite well. Seven kings sitting on top of seven kingdoms or hills. You identify them, and it's quite possible that you've identified the Antichrist. Here's why. Ooh, I just looked at my time thing. I can't tell you here's why. today, but I'm going to tell you tomorrow. I don't do this on purpose. I just read along until I see that the clock says go. I'm not trying to entice you to come back, but I would really like you to come back. Please do that. Come back tomorrow and find out why you can identify Antichrist if you identify the seven kings. I've already held up my little card, so you've got my ID stuff, and I'm so glad that you are going to stay in touch with me. It's so good to be reaching out to YouTube now, seeing and getting other people to come on board. Tell people about this, will you? I want to repeat that verse that we started with so you'll understand what I'm saying. Remember it and stay with it. There are seven kings. It's in Revelation 17:11. Ponder this yourself. Go into the book yourself. Study it. See what you come up with. Read every word, because every word matters. Amen? I'll talk at you later. Bye-bye.